Hi, I'm Mark Chavez. I'm one of the hosts of Let's Make a comedy docuseries podcast about the creative process. Each season, my co-hosts, Ryan Beal, Maddie Kelly, and I take on an artistic challenge and you follow our journey. In Let's Make a Sci-Fi, we wrote a science fiction TV pilot. In Let's Make a Rom-Com, we wrote a romantic comedy film. And on our latest season, Let's Make a Horror, we produced a horror short film. And when we run into trouble, we interview Hollywood experts. People who have worked on big things like The Blair Witch Project, The Office, Star Wars, Mamma Mia, and more. All three seasons of Let's Make a are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Q. Let's start out with this.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away. Even when I'm away. OT, OT, there's never much love when we go OT. I pray to make it back in one piece. I pray.
That song puts you in a time in your life, especially if you lived in Toronto in like 2016. You lived in Canada in 2016, that puts you in a time in your life. That's Drake from 2016 from his album Views. That's a song called One Dance. Do you remember the cover for that album? Drake sort of sitting on top of the CN Tower, his legs hanging over. Just talking about it kind of freaks me out. One time I talked to this Uber driver about it, and I remember he said to me, I could do that. I wouldn't even need the harness. No fear. No fear of heights. Anyway, Caitlin Cronenberg took that picture. Caitlin Cronenberg has done a lot in the world of photography. She's taken photos and celebrity portraits for Vanity Fair, Vogue, and Esquire. Caitlin is the daughter of the legendary Canadian horror filmmaker David Cronenberg. Her brother Brandon is also a horror and thriller director who's been on this show. And now, after years of photography, Caitlin's first feature film, Humane, is about to be released. So let me set this up. Imagine a world in the near future where climate change has wreaked havoc so much that resources are dwindling, and you're in North America, and you're faced with a big decision. To keep society going, 20% of the population must voluntarily be euthanized. So in Caitlin's film, these two characters, Charles and Don York, they step forward to sacrifice themselves. Kinda, things start to unravel.
You're not gonna like this, but we're here to collect two bodies.
I already told you Don left.
And that's unfortunate.
I know we're family and all, but if Bob needs a second body, it's not gonna be mine.
What are they still doing in the house?
You know, based on my experience in similar situations, I want to say, yeah, killing one another.
I don't mean to be dark, but is the lesson, if you volunteer to be euthanized to prevent climate change, you can't change your mind? That's a clip from the trailer to the film Humane. I got to speak with Caitlin Cronenberg, the film's director. We talk about the film. We talk about her career in photography and the elephant in the room, her last name. Here's our conversation. Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
Hello, Tom. I'm doing so well. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Congratulations on the film. It is terrifying.
Thank you. That was great. You got it. Interview over.
You wish. You said that the script for the film, quote, left me breathless, and I immediately knew I had to be the one to make this movie. So two questions here. Tell me about what about the script made you breathless, and then the feeling of like, I have to be the one to do this.
Well, I think that in the world of reading scripts, it's not that common for one to come along that you literally can't put down and that you say, I have to finish this. I have to know what happens next. I have to know more about these characters. And that was the experience that I had when I read Humane for the first time. Having read many other scripts, it's not always the way. And I really felt connected to it. I saw it come to life in my head as I read it. And that was it for me. I wrote back to Michael Spiraga, who wrote the film and sort of wrote the script and sent it to me. And I said, yeah, I mean, I don't think it happened quite that quickly, but some version of this has stuck with me in such an extreme way that I would really like to be the one to bring this to life.
I'm sure there's been a lot of expectation and anticipation for you to make your debut feature. Caitlin, so I wonder if you could tell me more about the connection you felt to this script that made you want to do this. I get that it was sort of compelling, but was it the horror aspect? Was it the climate change aspect?
Honestly, I think it was the fact that it didn't have one particular aspect that appealed to me, but ticked all the boxes. You know, I love the thriller genre. I am fearful of the straight up horror genre. It's never really been my thing. And the fact that this film had humor, it had thriller aspects, it had violence, but just the right amount. It had wonderful characters. That was all the boxes for me. You know, I was very careful for my entire photography career to never infer or hint at directing a feature because, to be honest, I really never knew if that would be my reality, and not because I didn't want to or because I didn't think I could, but, you know, I've been busy working as a photographer for nearly 20 years, and you kind of have to switch directions and rhythms in order to feel like you may want to go down a different road, even if the roads are kind of adjacent.
And even if there's a background in that road that others might think of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that potentially that's why people were less surprised when I did announce that I was going to direct this film. But I was surprised, frankly, that it became something that I was so excited about because I've just been enjoying being a photographer for all this time. And I still do enjoy being a photographer now.
As you mentioned, the film is sort of a satirical thriller, but it was hard to remove myself when I was watching it from the ever-present danger of climate change. And this is an arts show. This is not Quirks and Quarks or The Current or anything like that. But I can imagine as a director, you were either researching into it or you were thinking deeply about climate change at the heart of this film.
Well, I think that that Michael wrote everything, you know, I think 5 years ago. And throughout the course of making this film, we would send each other articles that we would see about wildfires and glaciers melting and say, wow, this is just humane coming to life. And over the course of that time, things have changed, even in 5 years. And it's a really interesting way for us to measure time from the first conversation we had about this to now. And, you know, the fact that we've had the worst wildfires in history over this past year. And that was after we finished wrapping the film. So, you know, we all, of course, hope that it never becomes so extreme that measures have to be taken that resemble humane in any way. But the disasters that we describe in the film are the disasters that are actually happening in real life, just in a more extreme way.
Well, to that, I never thought that a film that would like bring up the idea that humanity is humanity's worst enemy and maybe the solution is to murder 20% of the population. I never imagined that I'd be finding the movie so funny, like I'd be laughing so much at the movie. Can you tell me a little bit outside of the script as the director, the kind of tone you wanted this film to have?
Well, I mean, when you think of it as what you just said, it is bleak. That is so bleak. And like, who wants to watch that unfold in front of you without a laugh or two? Honestly, I don't love watching bleak, you know, when I'm trying to be entertained. You get a chunk of time that you get to sit in a movie theater and enjoy a piece of cinema. Often I don't want to be depressed when I leave. Of course, there are films that are absolute gems that are must-sees and they're utterly depressing and you go in and you know that and you have to watch it. It makes you feel feelings. All of that is very, very important and valid as well. But I wanted to make a film that I would want to see over and over again. And you can't make a film about depleting the world's population by 20% without humor unless you want to depress people. And that was not my intention. So obviously, yes, it was written. There were funny moments, but it, you know, largely had to do with the cast as well. When you bring in comedic actors and give them these, you know, very detailed, complex characters who have this range, you know, you see all of the characters in their funny moments, in their serious moments, in very emotional scenarios as well. We are funny inherently in dark times as humans, I think, because that's the way that we defend ourselves. We, you know, you can't just push forward all the time. Mm-hmm. You need reprieve. And And I wanted that to come through in the tone of the film because it's bleak.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. Coming up, more of my conversation with the filmmaker Caitlin Cronenberg.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. You're in the middle of my conversation with the filmmaker Caitlin Cronenberg. She's putting out her debut feature film, or just put out her debut feature film, called Humane. Caitlin Cronenberg, up until now, best known as a photographer. And what's interesting about her photography career is that she comes from a filmmaking family. David Cronenberg, the legendary body horror, you know, film director, is her dad. Her brother Brandon has been on the show before, sci-fi horror filmmaker as well. Why would photography be the path she chose? I had an answer in mind. You might have an answer in mind. The answer she gave me was not what I was expecting.
Photography is so powerful when you think about what it is. And to me, photography is telling an entire story with one frame. And I think that successful photographers understand that power very well. And it can be some of the most incredible storytelling with single frame imagery. And I love that. I love the challenge. I think what initially drew me to photography was the fact that you could do it on your own. I wanted to have a creative outlet that I could do solo. I was an incredibly shy child. And I really got the start of my career taking party photos. And so I would have to go up to strangers and ask them if I could take photos of them. And that was, I think, just instrumental in pulling me, kicking and screaming out of my shell. Now I consider myself a shy person who's pretty decent at talking to people. And that I credit completely to being a photographer.
What kind of parties? Give me an example of a party that you'd photograph.
Well, I was a bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah photographer for many years.
Really?
Every Saturday, I would be at a bar mitzvah, literally for the entire year sometimes. And I worked for a DJ company, and it would be my job to take not the family photos, but party photos of everybody. And they would put them on the screens, and the kids would see themselves, you know, while they were dancing and be like, oh, there's me. But I also worked for Hello Canada. Even I think the first year that we got Hello Canada in Canada, I was one of their event photographers. So if, you know, if there was a to-do party of the week, whatever the to-do was in town, I would be sent to shoot, and it would be a full page spread of people looking fabulous. Sometimes there would be a celebrity there, you know, and sometimes it would be people I had no idea who they were, but was still intimidated by. And that kind of sporadic job interaction with people was very, very, very difficult for me back then. But yeah, it was, that's where I began. That's where this journey started for me.
I love the idea of it, you being shy. You like, hey, you're sort of a, I didn't know that about you, that you were a really, really shy kid, and that being a party photographer means that you had to learn how to take pictures of people. But also, like, the idea of capturing images of someone as an outside observer is not to psychoanalyze you, Caitlin, but I find it interesting.
It is. I mean, I found it interesting too. I think, you know, there were a lot of lessons that I learned early on of how to talk to people and also how to approach people and make them feel comfortable with me, which in turn made me feel more comfortable with myself. Wow, this is like therapy. Thank you.
You should wait for my fee. I'm very reasonable, Caitlin. I'm very, very reasonable. How is promoting a thriller film with the last name Cronenberg?
It certainly invites a lot of questions that people think they're the only ones to have asked.
like that one, Tom.
That was actually a little bit more vague than some people do. But, you know, I get a lot of the same questions. I understand people have a curiosity having to do with my family, and I don't fault anyone for that. Of course, when you are the third of anyone to do anything in a family, there's always going to be interest there, especially in the, you know, in the entertainment field, because that's what entertainment is all about. I am very proud of my family. I'm proud to be one of them. I'm proud of the art that they put out into the world. And so if someone wants to ask me what conversations are like at our dinner table, I will answer that question for them. They will be disappointed with the answer because it is very boring, but I get it. You know, as much as I'm excited to be my own artist, I understand that as well.
If this next question is one you've heard before, do me a favor, Caitlin, and lie to me about it.
Okay.
Does finally making a film yourself, the process of making a movie, having your film launch, you know, working on direction, working on shot lists, working on call times, working on a film, has it given you more insight into your dad or your brother? Like, are you able to see their lives differently now that you've done that work yourself?
Absolutely not, because they don't do that part of it. And this is what's very interesting, is that I spent 10 years being a unit stills photographer. And being a unit stills photographer, you are the least important person on that set. Anyone at any point can kick you off because you're in their eyeline, or your shutter is making sounds, or you're in their way. And you're completely expendable, except for the PR department is desperate to have you capturing these images.
Oh, right. For people who don't know, this job is like it's going to be posted later. It's like behind the scenes sort of images, right?
Yeah. You know, every first look that you see, it's like, okay, here's finally the first look of Robert Pattinson as Batman. That is taken by the stills photographer. But as well, the stills photographer can be removed and the movie still gets made.
Right. If Robert Pattinson says, get that camera out of my face, you're back home on the couch.
Exactly. And there's nothing that taught me more about the film industry and the film hierarchy than being the most expendable person in the crew. And I learned how, you know, so many different directors run their sets, because of course I can go to my dad's set, I can go to my brother's set, and I did. I also did stills for both of them on various films. But you haven't really learned everything there is to learn, well, ever. But there's so much more to learn when you do stills on a 3D epic, right? Using three giant 3D cameras for every shot, or you're working on a movie of the week in Sudbury. Those are the extremes of sets that I've worked on and everything in between. And that has been the best learning experience for me, because you get to know the people who do those jobs. Like, who does the script breakdown? Who does the schedule? Who does the call times? Not the director. But you knowing who does that and what the process is and what goes into that is something that's much harder to learn until you've had a lot of set experience in different roles, unless someone's very, very willing to teach you.
Did you really get kicked off set as a photographer?
Yes, I did. Many times. I will name names privately.
Privately bum me out there, Caitlin. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sorry.
Let's end on the film. You said that Humane is so much more than a movie. It's an impassioned call to action. What do you mean by that?
I said that? Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah. Or you know what? The person who did your press did it.
I'm sure I said that at one point. It's the world is a blur.
It sounds like you, Caitlin, to be honest. It sounds like you.
I'm so smart. Mm-hmm. We need to know what's going on in the world. If you think Humane is funny, great. That's what you're supposed to think. If the fact that this is a little bit too close to home scares you, that is also what you're supposed to think. I would like to invite everybody listening to read more about climate change, understand the risks that we are currently living with and what we can do to help change the world in even the smallest way. Because if, you know, the billions of people on this planet all made a tiny change, it would actually make a big impact. And that is something that we should all be terrified of. It's very easy to not read the articles and not watch the news stories and not listen to the scientists who are warning us over and over and over again about these very, very real problems that are taking place right now. And if watching Humane is the thing that forces you to be like, oh man, I so don't want to kill my brother. Okay, I'm going to, you know, then great. But, you know, it is, Humane is not meant to teach. It's meant to entertain. But as human beings living on this earth, it is our responsibility to teach ourselves and to educate ourselves on what's going on by reading reputable sources and watching the news. So to all of those who think that they can't make a difference, I encourage you to try and also see Humane to be entertained.
Caitlin, so well said, as always. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you very, very much. It's so lovely to talk to you again.
Love Caitlin Cronenberg, the acclaimed photographer turned filmmaker. Her debut feature film is called Humane. Humane is in theaters and available on demand from today. The other conversation we have up today is with Annie Clark, also known as St. Vincent, who is just an unpredictable, beautiful, incredible album maker, musician, producer, guitarist. She's here to talk about, in this age where, you know, everyone's parsing artists' lyrics. I mean, I should just be candid, Taylor Swift's lyrics, and like trying to figure out what they mean about her relationship with so-and-so, which, you know, no fault to Taylor. That's just how we're taking the record. St. Vincent, St. Vincent is interested in art for art's sake and not giving too much away. She'll talk about that. Okay, go check that out wherever you got this. See you soon. Later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.